Michael Roberts.
And welcome to Stage Door Chicago, live from Pederino's. Hello, listeners.
And really, finally, live from Pederino's.
Why, no, we've been on location. We've been all over the place.
Well, you have, really. Well, and this past week we were at the Ballywick Theater on location.
Yes, we were, with the great cast of Bare Naked Lads.
Yes. Well, this is an exciting evening for us, isn't it?
Very, very exciting. Sitting here in the lovely Pederino's in the heart of the theater district, as always. Our lovely and latest and greatest podcast.
It is. And who's joining us tonight?
I think we have a third who's going to be popping over. I think that's the great Steppenwolf legend and Chicago's wicked Madame Morrible, Rondi Reed.
Wow.
We love
Rondi. Are you psychic?
Well, I have a crystal ball, don't ask, but...
Are you Mike?
No, I'm Steve.
Steve, Rondi, nice to meet you. Fabulous.
I'm
Rondi.
Yes, you are.
Nice to meet you.
I'm just shaking a little bit.
You are? Why? Not over me, please.
Well, you're fabulous and a legend. Come on.
Fabulous and a legend. I love that.
Cheers.
We have a little champagne.
Cheers.
Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you. This is a lovely way to end my week. Can I just say that?
Well, we're happy to oblige.
It's not always that good at the end of the week. So do you guys broadcast live? I had everybody ask me, well, where do we tune in? What do we do? Thank you, my dear.
Number 23.
23.
Lucky 23.
Yeah.
This will be posted probably in about a day or so.
Oh, so it streams online? Uh-huh. Is that what it does? Oh, how cool.
In two places, our website, and you can go onto Apple iTunes.
Oh, wow.
In the podcast section.
Uh-huh. Like, God, I said, there are these hip kids in the game, and they're doing podcasts, and they're so cool.
I just interviewed Angela Lansbury, and it wasn't this
Oh, my God. She's so fabulous.
She's amazing.
I met her outside the Grapes of Wrath in New York. She and her husband were just standing on the sidewalk, and I like walked right up to him. I was like, hi, you don't know me, but I had to grab a dog. I just think she's just
And she
amazing.
Looks phenomenal.
Yes, she does.
I was at a benefit in January for the Desert Age Project in Palm Springs, and it was Debbie Reynolds, Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Angela Lansbury.
Well, see, those are legends. Yeah. Those are legends.
Bruce Blanche.
Well, he's a legend in his own mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she was, all those big stars came to see Grapes of Wrath. You know, Julie Andrews came backstage, and Gregory Peck, and I mean, it was just like,
it's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame
It was amazing.
All the stars.
It was amazing. So what do you guys do? Eat and talk? What do we do?
If you want a nosh, we get a nosh. Or if you have something else to drink,
anything you want,
champagne or whatever. We just...
Well, I need to eat, so I don't care. You'll have to, like, turn my dial off at some point because I really do yak. So
do we. So
do you? Okay, good. Good. But anything you want to explain to me or what?
Well, is there anything... I just want to ask...
That I won't talk about?
We can always press pause if you want to go off the record.
I know your friend Robert Lane just passed away, so I didn't know if...
Ralph Lane, I'm sorry.
Is that okay if we bring him up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Former professor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if that was touchy or...
No, I haven't seen him. I haven't been in touch with him for... But Gene Wygant and I both worked with him in school.
Okay, yeah. I just want to know...
He was one of our big five of the professors. You know, we kind of had this faculty mafia.
Wasn't he a high school?
He was a high school for years and years at Northbrook. And he recruited... He used to go around. They gave him all this talent grant money at Illinois State to go out to high schools and recruit kids. He recruited fully about three-quarters of the Steppenwolf company from little high schools all over Illinois. He was the one that really, I mean, single-handedly, he kind of brought this level of talent down to Illinois State. And they don't really do that anymore. They don't recruit like that. But he was so active in that... you know, in the high school speech and drama stuff, that, you know, he was really, really key for bringing a lot of those people together.
And you're from Dixon.
Yes, Ronald Reagan's hometown, she says with a certain amount of chagrin. Yes, so we said, oh, the two famous people, you and Ronald Reagan. I'm like, yeah.
R&R,
there you go. Yeah, but he is the most famous person from there. There's been some other people. Well, Joan Allen is from Rochelle, and, you know, there's a few of us sort of from little bitty towns in Illinois that sort of gravitate together, yeah.
So are you leaving the show?
Am I leaving the show?
Yeah.
I'm taking a hiatus of 2 months for my show with John Mahoney up at Northlight. And I have a very smart agent who, when Wicked came along...
Who's your agent?
Sam Samuelson at Stewart Talent. He's a terrific guy. Former performer himself, singer, dancer, fabulous guy. And he said... I was in 4 shows. I was cast in 4 shows a year in advance, something that had never happened to me in my entire life, of course,
right.
Which is always when it happens.
When it rains, it pours. Right?
And they called me to audition for Wicked, and I said, I really don't have any interest in this. They'll never cast me. They're going to look for a star.
What was your audition like?
You know, it came very late in the game. I think they'd done a bunch of auditions here in January for the tour. And then they came back and they said, oh, well, they're thinking about maybe doing a Chicago production, but they don't know yet, but they want to see more people. So that was like, we're going to expand the audition pool. And I said, I'm in the middle of doing my first Shakespeare with Mark Lamos down at Navy Pier. I don't want to screw it up. I'm really busy. It's really hard. I don't have time. I need to get coaching. And they're like, just go. Just go. And I'm like, they're never going to cast me. And they're like, just shut up and go. So I went and called up my friend Sean, who had been music director for Funny Girl. And I said, will you please coach me on this?
That was at the Lincoln Shire.
Yeah. At Funny Girl that we did with Heidi and Gene. And he said, absolutely. And I went over to his place and he went through the music. He said, all right, well, this job is yours if you want it. You just have to. And I said, they're not. He goes, just trust me. You're perfect for this. And I had it on a little tape recorder and listened to it over and over and over. And I went in one rainy, crappy night down by one of the dance companies, you know, down in the industrial kind of part of Chicago. And there were, I don't know, hundreds of people that auditioned. And I went in and I did my thing, and he was very nice, the guy from Birdie. Oh, thanks a lot.
And what was your thing?
I had to do the first two scenes, I had to read 2 scenes and then sing a little snippet of the song, the intro to The Wizard and I. That's all I had to sing. And it was, okay, thank you. Boom, out the door. And then the next thing I know, I get a call, and they said, okay, they're going to fly 12 people to New York for a callback, and you're one of them. You're not the only Madame Morrible, but you're one of them that they've picked out of 12 people. And they're going to fly you, and you have to go on Monday, your day off. And I was like,
Mothers!
Yeah. And they want you to glam it up a little bit. And I was like, what? Yeah, that was my initial reaction. Glam it up! My agent said, my manager said, just put on a little more makeup. I went, all right, more makeup.
Makeup.
So they flew us out there, and I walked into the place, and I've been in New York off and on, so I was familiar with the casting office, and I saw, of course, all these former Chicago actors who now live in, who I hadn't seen in years, and it was like, oh! So I had my earphones on my head, but I was yakking to everybody else and saying hi to everyone, just socializing like a little bee. And, you know, and then of course they go, Rondi, you're up. And I'm like, oh. And I get up, and they told us that the whole team was going to be in there, but for some reason it didn't dawn on me.
Did you see the show before you auditioned?
No, I knew nothing about it.
Wow.
I hadn't seen it. I had to go out and buy the CD because I'd never heard the music. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I didn't really know it. And I was up to my eyeballs in Shakespeare at the time,
right.
You know, so I didn't really know. And I go in, and the first person that stands up is Joe Mantello, which I'm like, oh my God! I was thrilled just to meet him.
He was a great man of all work.
Yeah, but I was like, wow, Joe Mantello, Tony Award winning, I could deal with him. And then Winnie Holzman was there, and Stephen Schwartz was there, and you know, everybody was there. The whole Magilla was there. And they were all very nice, and they said, okay, you know, why don't you, you know, sing your song, and I did my first song, and then I did my second song, and then I did my first scene, and then I did my second scene.
And they did the score from Evita.
Yeah, I sang a little bit more.
Shakespeare.
And they laughed, and they were very nice, and I was probably in and out of the room in all of 6.5 minutes, and then I was like, okay, gotta go catch my plane back. And by the time I landed at O'Hare, a few hours later, I had 3 messages on my answering machine that said, you've got it, they want you, they want you, you're in. And I mean, I was flabbergasted because nothing has ever happened like that to me, in Hollywood, sometimes if you get something, it happens that fast, you know, but usually you have to be tormented, you know, and they don't call you and you never hear back, and yeah. So this was a case of, they want you, now we have to work it out. And I was...
And you were under contract for other shows?
I was under contract with Shakespeare, and I did not have an out. Wicked had to buy me out of my Shakespeare contract, which they did. I think I was worth X amount of dollars and like 24 tickets to Wicked. That was my price. That was the price on my head. And but again, my fabulous agent negotiated it, and I had to drop out. And then, of course, it was long, extensive negotiations, and the rumors were flying, and everybody was calling me, you know. Hi, my dear.
Can Miss Reed have a menu?
Yes, I need to order a little something. Thank you.
Do you have a favorite appetizer, Rondi?
Well, I don't know. It just depends. You guys don't have to pop. I'm making the big bucks.
We're popping.
You're popping, okay. Springing, popping, whatever it might be.
We interviewed the Bare Naked Lads last night.
Oh, you did? Excellent. How are they doing? Were they bare naked when you interviewed them?
They were. Yeah.
It was quite an eyeful.
Amy's been in therapy all day.
Very frightening.
I'm sorry. It's quite, you know, this is professional.
I know.
It's part of the job, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're a professional with sunglasses and a blindfold.
Chicken Armando. That's what I always get. It's good. Basic. Basic, yeah. They have great cheeseburgers. They have great salads.
How's John Mahoney doing? Because he's
doing better. He had to drop out of this show. I haven't spoken to him yet. I left him a couple of messages, but I think he's doing real well. I think it was a gallbladder.
When do you start rehearsal?
We start April 18th. So I do a week of double duty with Wicked.
And rehearsal.
No. And then I'm on my hiatus. But what I was going to go back to say was my agent, once I got extracted once I extricated myself from all these commitments, which all the artistic directors were so gracious, and so because I was supposed to do a show at Writers Theater and continue with Shakespeare and then do 2 shows at Steppenwolf and then this other one up at Northlight. And everybody could not have been more supportive, and they were just great. But Sam said, you know what? I think you should try and salvage this one with Mahoney. Because we'd been wanting to work together for a long time. I mean, we're in the same company, but we hadn't done a show for a while. And he said, I think by that point, he said, it's almost your year contract with Wicked. He said, I think you'll be ready for something else. I think it'll be a good break for you. And he said, let's see if we can negotiate a drop and pick up. Which they're starting to do more in this musical theater production contract.
And well, since they especially, well, it's a newer thing here because of the sit-down shows.
Right, exactly.
I'm a lawyer.
You're a lawyer, He said, let's go for it and see. And so they did, which was really great. And so I come back from doing that, and I have 2 more months, and then I'll finish my year contract. And I'm in negotiations right now for past that.
That's great.
Just that,
Yeah. 2010.
I mean, Wicked has been such a phenomenon.
Juggernaut, unbelievable.
Not only in New York, but here in Chicago, because look what it's bringing. It's bringing The Color Purple in 2007 for an extended run, The Spelling Bee, You're in Town.
I think Chicago, I mean, New York, we sort of have this love-hate relationship between the two cities, you know. And I've been, you know, subjected to that my entire life of being in theater. And I love working in New York, and I've been in New York, and, you know, but it's like, I think David Stone is an incredibly savvy producer. He also produced Vagina Monologues that I did at the Apollo.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
That's on my list.
Okay. But he produced that here, so he had experience producing in Chicago, and he's, I think, always had kind of a soft spot for Chicago. And so when they got this unprecedented response for ticket sales for the tour of Wicked, they began to look at it again. And again, the other producer who's incredibly savvy is a guy named Mark Platt.
He's with Universal, isn't he?
He's a Hollywood producer. He's a movie guy.
And that's actually who I got tickets from.
Oh,
Friday
did you?
Night.
Yeah.
Because I exhausted all other remedies.
Did you?
And my friend Ken, who runs the Opera House, knows Mark.
Uh-huh.
And I got tickets Friday.
He's such a savvy guy. I mean, he's very smart. He's a great businessman, but he gets the artistic side of it. He's hands-on, you know. And they've assembled a really great team, and they... I mean, it's so big. At times, it's like being in a big machine. But it's a well-run machine. And they realize that product, the end result, is what sells. And the word of mouth sells. So, it's a franchise, but once it starts to lose its...
And don't you think, though, that's something really... that Cameron McIntosh started where the show sells itself,
mm-hmm,
and it's not
mm-hmm
the star.
It's
because
really
people don't
show.
Go and see Phantom because they go to see Phantom.
Yeah.
And people are seeing Wicked because it's Wicked.
Wicked.
And that's
exactly why it's a success.
Absolutely.
Because they can plug anybody into it. Now, you have somebody like an Anna Gasteyer who definitely had a following, who brought people in, who was a great person to open it in Chicago because it brought a level of publicity and,
sure,
and notoriety to it. But it doesn't need a star. It does not need a star. And that's a huge thing, you know. I think that it proves itself in that aspect, that it's the story and it's the music and it's
the sex and the costumes.
Yeah, it's what attracts people to it.
But I think even from the outset of a show, once the PR is done like that, it's
mm-hmm
Wicked.
Yeah, it is. Branding, as
right,
they call it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what gives these shows legs, especially in Chicago.
Well, Gene and I were talking, it's like we're now a part of something. You have to put it in that canon of musical theater, whether it's Chorus Line or Dream Girls or, you know, one of those ones that changed the history.
Look at what's happening.
You know.
That in January, Wicked on Broadway had the highest grossing week ever.
I know.
It opened in
history. I know.
Box office opened in London last week.
Yeah.
Highest
through
grossing.
The roof. I know.
I mean, there's something else going on with the show.
They've got their plans out for Australia, Japan.
Yeah, I mean, and it didn't win Best Musical, but everybody thinks it did. And that's the other great thing about the show.
It's like Cats. Cats was absolutely crucified when it came out.
Right.
And it was the marketing team that thought up Cats Now and Forever.
Right.
And it just about did.
Right.
Now and Forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually one of the few people I like Cats.
Well, I saw it in London originally, and I just loved it.
So did I.
And I never saw it over here.
Yeah.
I had seen it in London, and I was so mesmerized with it, you know.
Yeah.
And Les Mis, same way. I saw that in London.
For Patty?
Which was great. No, she had left it, but the original Jean Valjean was...
Cole Wilkinson.
Oh, my God.
I saw him do Phantom in New York.
Oh, did you?
I mean, in Toronto.
In Toronto, yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I saw Phantom in London, too. I saw most of those musicals in London before, and I didn't see them again. I mean, and also, too, a show... Part of the problem is they get so diluted, you know, as much as they get done. And this is a production team that is very... And Joe Mantello has been in redirecting. You know, his perception on it has changed since he first did it.
Now, I don't know if you can talk about it, but if you renew a contract, would you be able to go to New York and transfer in and out of different shows?
It's a possibility. I mean, they refer to it, it feels a little mafia-esque, but they call it the Wicked Family. You're in the Wicked Family. And that has great connotation to it. Because they have the tour, they have Broadway, and they have us. We've had swinging...
And the film version.
Yeah, we've had dancers from all companies that have come to sub in for us. Ben Vereen came here for a week
and
switched out with our wizard, which was so fun.
Could you?
And what a great, and how great for Gene, too. I mean,
he had a ball. He got to do Broadway.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was standing on stage and I thought, I'm on stage with Ben Vereen. You know, to me, he's about as big as, I mean, because I came up through Pippin and all of that, and all that
Jesus
jazz.
Christ Superstar.
Yeah. And, you know, he kind of ambled through rehearsal and didn't really do too much. And then, like, the first night of performance, he, like, opened up, and I swear to God, the floorboards were vibrating.
It was,
oh, my God.
It was really great because I saw it the first night he was here.
Oh,
everybody,
you saw it then.
Everybody was, like, an honest face when they were dancing in the second. And she's just, like, dancing with Ben Vereen.
No.
Yeah, you could tell the energy.
It was amazing.
So then when I leave, Carol Shelley, who originated the role, is going to come in and do it for 2 months. She's been on the road for a while. Carol Kane has gone to New York.
Right.
So it works. It shifts the dynamics. They've been very smart in what they do, I think, as to how they keep the consistency of it, but yet they don't let it go into formulaic, because I think by the time you see the 14th tour of Les Mis, I don't know what is too exciting about it, you know. But the thing is, it requires, you know, the mean age of this cast is about 23.
Thank God.
They have to be.
They're
because
cute.
They couldn't do it. It's deceptively difficult and athletic kind of dancing.
Oh, the monkeys.
Monkeys, unbelievable. And the injury report is about 3 inches thick.
Workers' comp is fine.
Oh, yeah.
not
but I mean, it's a very intense show. But, you know, it's not breaking any new ground as a musical, I don't particularly think.
No.
Because it revisits, but that's part of it.
No, but I think that's what makes it work. It's a throwback to the musical.
It's a throwback, and it revisits so many things. And also, the whole, certainly in America, the whole kind of shared sensibility of people who know The Wizard of Oz. So
right.
It's like you trade on that stuff. And that's why they're kind of wondering, will it work in Australia? Will it work in London? Will it work elsewhere?
Well, I also think it reaches a new age of musical
theater-goers. It absolutely does.
I mean, 13-year-old girls go crazy for it. And I go crazy for it as a 29-year-old girl.
But, you know. And that's the question. Actually, my friend Ken wanted me to ask you from the Opera House. He's like, what is the click with, like, between the 12 and 16-year-old girls?
Yeah.
That are just fanatics with the show.
Well, it's that, and it's some of their mothers. It's interesting because we get a lot of mother-daughter returnees. I think the thing that it speaks to, Winnie Holzman is the writer of the book, certainly tapped into that. You know, she's so well known for the series My So-Called Life. I mean, I think she tapped into that relationship between those two girls. And it's when I go out to the alley to sign autographs and there's all these little kids. You know, we have shows, and especially in the summer, there were so many kids. And the little girls would be all dressed up and I'd say, what are you? Are you a Glinda or an Elphaba? And they seriously would all cut up and they'd go, I think I'm Glinda. Or I'm definitely an Elphaba. You know, or somebody said, sometimes I'm a little of both. And I thought, how great is that for a kid? Yeah, to be able to, you know, and to realize that there's always somebody who's a green girl.
No metamorphals in the 13-year-old
No,
girls.
Of course, I have about, there's some of my 15-year-old girls, oh, I love your part, it's the best. And they love my wig.
It is the best part.
It's a great part.
It is, it's fun, it's a lot of fun. But I think, too, the thing it does between friendships and between, you know, once you grow with somebody, you share something together. And also, too, you know, I read the book of Wicked while I was flying back and forth over about a 6-week period for my costume fittings.
It takes about that long to get through it.
Yeah. I had to go on Monday, my day off. Well, but I liked it because it presented the world. And what I wanted was the world. They said to me, the show is nothing like it. But I didn't get a script until like 2 weeks before rehearsal started. So I was at sea. I didn't know. Plus, it fleshed out Morrible for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very political novel.
Sure.
The whole aspect of all the animals, the animal issue is much, much bigger in the novel. Yeah. And to me, I love all the little details, you know, that I could kind of glean from it. Well, nobody may ever know them, but, you know.
Tell us about the group.
The group? The cast?
No. The group. It was either back in high school.
Oh my God, the group? How did you find out about that?
The answers to these questions and more exclusively at StageDoorChicago.com under special features. Dinner with Rondi Reed, only at StageDoorChicago.com.